In his book, You Must Be Willing to Stand Alone, Myron Rush identifies 10 tough issues that every Christian leader will face. I'm going to read you those 10 this morning, and I would like you to see if you can observe them in the life of Jesus Christ as we read some of the records in the Gospels. Number one is that you must be willing to go against public opinion in order to promote what you believe. You must be willing to risk failure. You must become master of your emotions. You must strive to remain above reproach. You must be willing to make decisions that others don't want to make. You must be willing to say at times, even when, to say yes at times, even when you like to say no. And you must be willing to say no at times, even when you like to say yes. That was one. You must sometimes be willing to sacrifice personal interests for the good of the group. You must never be content with the average. You must always strive for the best. People must be more important to you than the possessions. And the last one is you will have to work harder to keep your life in balance than people who are not leaders, because the adversary will surely attack you. I'd like you to go to John chapter 6 this morning. Jesus Christ had a way of cutting through religion and cutting through the junk in the church at his day and in his time. And he would get people upset, and he would be ridiculed for the word that he spoke. They would pick on how he spoke it. They would pick on to whom he spoke it. They would come back with him with verses and use the word of God against him. And yet, out of everyone that lived or ever will live, he was always perfect and loving and kind in what he spoke and taught. In John chapter 6, in verse 57, we read, "As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me." He who partakes of what he has to offer. "This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever." And these things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many, verse 60, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" And when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Doth this offend you? What, and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore say I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of what? The Father." And that's an interesting and a important verse to remember. Because if God doesn't call a person, or a person doesn't respond to God's call, no matter what you do or how much time you spend with them, they're not going to come. Verse 66, here is the response to Jesus Christ's teaching. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with what? With him. So he was cleaning house. He had a few left, so I guess he wants to address the rest of them. If you're trying to save your congregation, you would go running after him and say, "Now, wait a minute. Guys, you didn't understand what I said," and then start backpedaling. But Jesus goes on further, and he says unto the 12, "What are you waiting for? Will you go away also?" Then Peter answered him, "And Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe that thou art, that when we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered them, "Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" And he spake of Jesus, Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Everybody didn't always respond with open arms to the message that Jesus Christ preached. And in the Word of God, the Word teaches that Jesus said, "The words that I speak, those things that I say are not my words, but they're what? They're God's words." So the truth is that not everyone will receive the message that God has to speak to the world. And as our world continues to go downhill and go further away from God and become more hostile towards God and the things of God, if you speak for God, the world is going to become more hostile towards you. Now, this you would expect of the world, because the world is ruled and governed by the prince of this world, the devil. And he has that authority that was given to him to do so. But you don't expect this in the church. You would expect to have rebellion outside. You would expect to have the resisting of the truth of God's word from without, but not from within. And it's that which comes from within many times that kills the greatness of God's word and God's movement in the church. John chapter 8, a little bit further. Look at verse 47. John 8:47. Jesus said, "He that is of God heareth," what? God's word. "Ye therefore hear them not, because you are not of" who? Okay. Now what you got to understand when you read through this is that he's talking to the religious people of the day. He's talking to the church of the day. He's not talking to Pilate. He's not talking to the Roman unbelievers. He's not talking to those that worship at the temple Diana. He's talking to the believers, quote unquote, of the day. Not only is he talking to the believers of the day, he's addressing a specific category of those believers, and they are what? The leadership. The leadership, right? Okay. "They then answered the Jews," that answered the Jews, the church, the called of God. "And they said unto him, Please teach us, Lord Christ, so we can repent and become whole." No. That's what they should have said, right? Their response to him says, "Aren't we hitting the nail on the head when we say that you are from the hood and you have a devil?" Right? Now, what is that kind of thing to say to Jesus? That's not a good thing to say to the Lord, right? You don't say, "Lord, you got a devil. You're a Samaritan," you know. And Jesus answered, he said, "I don't have a devil." He says, "I honor my Father, and you do dishonor me. And I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. He continues to teach them more of God's word. And their response to the word that he continues to teach them is that they become more convinced that he's what? He's still wrong. He's got a, now we know you got a devil. Abraham is dead in the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he'll never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? Did he say he was greater? He didn't say that. But you see how they're just taking the word and they're twisting it? Because you know why? Because they're not able to think logically. Because they're upset. Because they're angry on the inside. And that which God gave to provide blessing to you, his holy word, these people are taking and they're twisting it and they're using it to lash out at the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what you call religion. And religion is ugly. Even when it's in the church, it's ugly. The prophets are dead. Who makest thou thyself? And Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. Verse 54. It is my Father that honoreth me. Look at this. Of whom ye say that he is what? Your God. You see, they were claiming God as theirs. He wasn't fighting outside of the body, outside of the church. They claimed that this is God, the prophets, Abraham, yes. And Jesus goes on, you have not known him. You see, he doesn't back off. He comes right out and tells them, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know. You have not known him. How would you like to tell the called of God, the people who are practicing God's word, you don't know God. You claim that he's your God, but you don't know God. And he goes on and he says this, but I know him. Could you imagine someone listening with a corrupt heart? What would they think of Jesus? That he's egotistical and prideful and he's out of his mind, right? But Jesus wasn't out of his mind. He wasn't egotistical and he wasn't prideful. I'll guarantee you that. Jesus said, I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. So now he's calling them what? A bunch of liars. But I know him and keep his what? Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed what? Here again we see that some of the people listening were upset with what Jesus was teaching. The Jews, the leadership, accused him of having a devil. He gave them more of God's word, and then they came back and they said, we're sure that you have a devil. We're sure that you have a devil. In verse 49, he responded to them and he said, he honored his father. He honored his father. How did Jesus honor his father? What was Jesus doing at the point in time that he made that statement? He was teaching, right? He was speaking the word. And he was doing it how? In love and accurately. You see? The way that Jesus Christ, one of the ways that Jesus Christ brought honor to God, respect, to show that Jesus had placed a value on what God was and what God gave, was on presenting the word that God gave him. And when Jesus presented God's word, and we know that he did it flawlessly, perfectly, because he was a wonderful teacher, the best, that brought honor to God. So when you present God's word accurately and in love and to the best of your ability, and your heart's in the right place, that will bring honor to who? That'll bring honor to God. When you present the word otherwise, does that bring honor to God? Maybe not as much as God would want, right? The word honor means to estimate and to affix a value to. It means to honor or to revere or to venerate. It says that I honor my Father. And the result of Jesus teaching the word, which brought honor to God, back to Jesus, the response of the people was to what? Dishonor him. Was to dishonor him. When Jesus spoke the truth of God's word, and he wanted nothing but the best for the people and gave them the truth, he said, I honor my Father. We know that Jesus told the truth. We know he didn't lie. And we know that he always did the what? Will of the Father. So the will of the Father was to speak the way Jesus spoke in this particular context. To call them liars. To tell them, you say you have God, but you don't know God. To just be open and confront the situation. In return, they showed dishonor to Jesus Christ. The word dishonor means to insult. It means to treat with contempt. Whether, listen, in word or in deed or in thought. That's how they were dishonoring Jesus Christ. Whether in word, deed, or thought. And if you follow the lives of these guys, you can see they did all three. They dishonored him in word, they dishonored him in deed, and they dishonored him in thought. And if you look at the context, you can see all three. They thought about what they were going to say. They said what they said. You have a devil. And what was the deed? They were going to throw rocks at him, right? So in other words, they dishonored him fully, completely. That's how they did it. Now the Jews claimed that Yahweh was their God in verse 54. Yet in verse 55, Jesus turns around and tells them that they don't know God and they're nothing but a bunch of liars. Now you got to ask yourself the question, why were these religious people so upset with Jesus? This is what you got to ask. It wasn't like sometimes you hear and yeah, well, that's not right, and you walk away and you're okay. But when Jesus taught these people, when Jesus was there and he confronted these people, he did something that pushed them over the edge. Whatever it was that upset them, pushed them over the edge, so much so that he got them so angry that they were willing to what? Kill him. They were going to kill him. In other words, what fueled their hatred of Jesus Christ? They dishonored him. They talked about him. They thought bad things about him, and then they turned around and they eventually wanted to do bad things to him. But what is it that is the underlying reason that causes people to act like this when Jesus, who did nothing but want to help people and bless people, was teaching? Now you could say that Jesus was harsh in what he said, and he was mean, and he was unloving by saying that they were liars and that they don't know God and that such and such. You could say that. But we know that that's not true. He spoke the truth. And we know he spoke the truth in love. Now you can guess at what it was, but I would prefer to go to the context and let the context show you what it is. Look at verse 43. Verse 43. Why do you not understand my speech? See? Jesus again confronting someone. And he's sitting there and he's teaching them verses 42 and prior. Wonderful truths. And he's a wonderful teacher. And he gets to 43 and he says to him, why don't you understand what I'm saying? Do you ever try and sit with somebody and try to explain to them the word of God or a great truth in God's word? And they just don't get it, or they want to fight about it, or they want to run away from it, or they just can't see it. even because you cannot hear my word. Now, they heard what he was saying, but what he meant was, you don't understand it. You don't get it. Verse 44, ye are of your father, what? The devil. And the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father, what? Of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convicteth me of sin? Convinceth me of my sin. And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of what? God heareth God's words. Therefore, ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of what? He's turning around, he's telling the church, he said, of God hears God's word. He says, you can't hear him because you're not of God. Now that takes something to tell the church that. And that was who he was speaking to at the time. But the point that I want you to see is this. When a religious group is compromised, they're compromised by the devil. And they're compromised by demons, by spirits. Some may even be fathered by the devil at some point in time. Now, you know, I'm not telling you that once you're born again, you could be fathered by the devil. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is at some point in time during the history of the church, there were people in the church, and probably still today, that profess to be believers but are straight from the pit of hell, because they're not there for the calling of God. They're there against God. And yet these people claim that Yahweh was their God. Look at Mark chapter 1. You cannot make the mistake of walking by your senses. Because if you walk by your senses, you're going to get fooled every time. The reason why Jesus Christ had such a hard time with these people was it wasn't the people. Jesus Christ upset the spirits in the people. And the spirits in the people did not like Jesus Christ. They did not like what he was doing. They did not like what he was saying. And so the spirits in the people move the people against Jesus Christ. You can see that in the record. They moved him against Jesus Christ in their words, in their thoughts, and in their what? Deeds. It was the spirits, the demons, inside of those people that the leadership had invited into the church and allowed those people to subjugate themselves to and invite into their lives, that hated God, didn't know God, and hated God's Son. And when Jesus Christ came and he began to teach the truth, he didn't upset the people as much as he upset the spirits. And because the people and the spirit are one, you see, it's hard to discern between Joe and the spirit of bitterness, or Bill and the spirit of rebellion, or Susie and the spirit of arrogance. You understand? Because the spirit intertwined in the personality of the individual. And the personality of the individual was then becoming living and real in that person. But that personality was manifested, was the spirit that was in them. That's the way it works. Jesus Christ upset that. We're in Mark chapter 1. Look at verse 21. Then he went into Capernaum. And straightway on the Sabbath day, he entered into the synagogue, and he what? Now we learned in John chapter 8 that when Jesus Christ taught, and he taught in love and accurately, that that teaching brought what to God? Honor to God, right? It honored God. And you see him doing it here. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the what? He wasn't so much what he taught at first. Okay? In Mark chapter 1, verse 22. It was how he taught that got their attention. You understand? There's a difference between reading a book on how to bake bread and teaching a class about how to bake bread, and then a person who's been baking bread for 30 years or 20 years who's got, and then he teaches a class on how to bake bread. You understand? Because there's a personal contact with that. I could read a book on how to bake bread, and I could probably teach it to you, but you want to know something? God forbid one of you ladies would raise your hand and say, oh, by the way, what type of yeast do you use? Because I'm clueless. You understand? Because I'm book trained. On the other hand, if you wanted to know how to change a set of brakes, I could teach you how to change a set of brakes. And when you raise your hand and you say, what does it mean when the caliper doesn't release? I could start listing causes. Like the brake hose is double lined and the interior of the brake hose might be compressed together, not releasing the caliper. Like the piston and the rings in the caliper have frozen because there's mud. Why is there mud? Because the boot around the caliper piston is worn away and it's allowing water and moisture to go in there. Like the proportioning valve stuck to the one side. Etc., etc., etc. There's a difference. Jesus Christ taught like one who had what? Authority. Because he knew what he was talking about. And I'm going to show you why he knew what he was talking about, because he was about to demonstrate what he knew. The Pharisees, the scribes, on the other hand, they got up, and this is something like what they did. This is what something like teaching without authority goes like. A sacred reading from the Holy Gospel, according to St. Mark, chapter 1. Now hear the word of the Lord. The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and so on and so forth. There's more to it, you understand? Jesus Christ was connected. Jesus Christ had fellowship. Jesus Christ had the Spirit of God within him. He was manifesting power. He knew what he was. He knew who he was. And he spoke with authority. Verse 23. And there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he, the text is it, cried out. The spirit cried out of the man, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of what? Listen, this synagogue had been having service for years. And for some reason, these spirits, because after the word it, you see the words us and you see the word we. That's plural, okay? That's God telling you there was more than one demon involved there, okay? To torment us, we. This synagogue had been having service for years, and the spirit was happy to go to that synagogue every Saturday to hear the word of God taught. The Gospel of Mark, which wasn't written at this time, the Gospel of Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, chapter 1, verse 1. These are the visions that Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning so-and-so. But somehow, that Saturday, when Jesus Christ came in, he didn't even do nothing yet. He just came in. You know what happened? He upset that spirit. You know what happened to that spirit? That spirit wasn't able to sleep that morning. He upset that spirit. He tormented that spirit so bad that the spirit couldn't even keep its mouth shut. You ever do that? You fight with somebody, you poke them, you poke them, you poke them, you poke them, and you're waiting for what? You want to get a rise out of them, right? Sometimes a person, if they can control themselves, they turn around, they say, we'll have this conversation later. They walk away and lock the bedroom door behind you. And you're like this. Come out here and fight with me, right? whatever Jesus did and the power that he was manifesting that morning, that evening, whenever he was teaching, it upset that demon so bad that that demon screamed out at a person, And he said, "Let us alone. Let us alone." They didn't want to be bothered. They just didn't want to be bothered. You know what they wanted? I tell you what they wanted. The Holy Gospel according to Mark chapter 1. That's what they wanted. They wanted to play God. They wanted to play religion. Understand? They wanted to pretend that they were doing that which God wanted them to do. But God forbid that the cloak would be pulled off and Jesus Christ said, "What are you guys doing here? Why are you here? Don't you get what I'm trying to teach you?" I don't know exactly what he said, but whatever he said, he upset that demon so bad that the demon lost its mind and just got control of that person, and that person, the person shouted out, "Let us alone. What do we have to do with thee?" Now, up until this point, no one had confessed who Jesus Christ was, but the demon had known. He says, "I know who thou art, the Holy One of God." The spirit recognized who Jesus Christ was. You want me to tell you something else? The spirits also recognized who the Sadducees, the scribes, and the Pharisees were. And the spirit was comfortable with them. And he allowed them to go and play religion once a week. But you know what he did not allow? You know what he would not put up with? He would not put up with Jesus Christ. That's something, isn't it? Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Shut up and come out of him." That's the way the text reads. It's a forcible rebuke. He didn't get down and say, "Oh, come on, little guy, now, come on out." He didn't do that. Jesus said, "Shut up and come out." And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he what? He came out. And they were all amazed, in so much as they questioned among themselves, saying, "What thing is this?" Now look at the next words. What's the word? New doctrine is this. "For what authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do what? Obey him." They had never seen that before. They have never seen that before. Look at Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews 5. Now, Jesus didn't go around looking to start trouble. But what happened was Jesus stirred up the demons inside the people. And he got them upset. And what did that do? That got the people angry at him. What happened to the people who got angry at Jesus? John chapter 6, what was the first response? Who were they? Okay, number one. That's the first response. He got them angry. This is a hard saying. Are you offended in this? Verse says somewhere, "Blessed is he that is not what? Offended in me. Why call you me Lord, Lord, when you do not those things which I say?" The first response to Jesus Christ's teaching was that some left. They just left. You know what they said? "I got to get away from this guy. He's out of his freaking mind. He just pushes me the wrong way. He makes me feel weird. He just, what's he doing now? Who does he think he is now? What gives him the right?" So they just left. And it wasn't the Greeks that left. You understand? It wasn't the pagans that left. It was his disciples that left. Then the next response we saw was that the people what? Accused him. They said that he's what? A devil. And we got this revelation where he's hitting the nail on the head. "We're sure you're a devil." After he teaches them more. Then they argue with him. And then finally, because that doesn't work, what do? They try to kill him. in Mark chapter 5, I'm sorry, in Hebrews 5, verse 8, talking about Jesus Christ. Though he were a son, yet learned he what? Obedience by the things which he suffered. Even Jesus Christ had to be an obedient son. If anybody could have foregone that learning process, you thought it'd be him, but even he went through that. And being made perfect, he became the author of the eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Look at verse 11. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of what? See? Jesus wasn't the only one that had this type of problem with people. This group in Hebrews were honing on to certain beliefs, certain rituals, certain forms of worship. And the author of Hebrews is saying, we got many things to say about this guy, Jesus. And they're hard to be uttered. You've seen that you're dull of what? You know what it is to be dull of hearing? You know everything. Or you don't want to learn anything. Or you just don't care to learn anything. Or you're complacent and you're happy and nobody could teach you anything. Let alone somebody named Jesus from where? Nazareth. For when the time you ought to be teachers, you've been around long enough, you ought to be teachers. You have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of what? You've been doing this, you have this ability, you've been exposed to such and such, such, and this is what you should be doing. Look at you. What's going on here? You remind me of a bunch of babes that need milk instead of meat. We've got to start over with you again. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of what? For he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of what? There's the key. By reason of what? Use. In other words, you're going to get involved. You're going to do something. You're going to serve. You're going to use that which God gave you. Have their senses, spiritual senses, exercise to discern both what? That means you got to teach about the devil. It doesn't say just to discern good. The love of God and the peace of God and the hope of God and all the wonderful things of God, la-di-da-di-da-di-da. It says a spiritual mature believer has to be able to discern both good and what? So that means you got to teach about the devil. That means you got to have some experience with him. Because your senses are exercised by reason of what? Use. You understand? It's not the guy just reading from the book. It's the guy that can make bread and has done it for so many years. Two more verses. 1 John chapter 1. You see that demon that morning in the synagogue? Every morning that demon went to that synagogue. You know why he went there? Because that guy went there. If that guy went to church that morning, guess who was there? And he was comfortable to be there. Every morning, every morning, every morning. And as long as things stay the status quo, as long as they remain the same, that demon would have been gone to that synagogue until that synagogue was no more. But that morning, Jesus showed up. And what Jesus came with irritated that demon so bad that he just had to scream out. Look at verse 7 of 1 John 1. We read this on Thursday night. I'll read it again to you. Starting in verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not what? Okay? So telling people about the hope, telling people about the love of God, telling people all of these wonderful things is great, but if you're not living it, you know what the Bible says? You lie and you do not the truth. Saying you're in fellowship, saying you're worshiping God, saying if you are, then that's wonderful. But if you're lying, you're a liar. You're not doing the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is the light, as actually the words in the are not in the text. But if we walk in the light as He is light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all what? Sin. Cleanses us from all sin. The condition is that we would walk in the light. The light is, as He is light, it's God's Word. Once we're able to do that, we have fellowship. We not only have fellowship with God, but we can have fellowship with other believers. And like I said, Thursday night, the sad truth is that you will not be able to enjoy the abundance of fellowship with other believers, because if those other believers are not walking in the light and adhering to the standard of God's Word, you can't do it. That's what the verse says. Walk in the light as He is light according to the Word, then we have fellowship one with another. Then we have fellowship. Before you can have fellowship, you got to be walking in the light. And the light that you have to be walking in is whose light? God's light. Then you can enjoy fellowship. Then you can enjoy fellowship. Let's close in 2 Peter. Second Peter, chapter 3, please. Verse 15. Which have forsaken the right way. 2 Peter 3:15. I was in 2:15. I was close. That's a good verse too. Nevertheless, 3:15. And account. The long suffering of the Lord is salvation. Even as our beloved brother Paul, who according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you. Okay, so Peter's referring to Paul. He's calling him a beloved brother. He's saying that God gave him great wisdom and God's given him something to write unto him, unto you. Verse 16. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest. They wrestle with them. As do also the other scriptures unto their own what? Paul, not only John, but Peter now, the writer of the book, sharing about Paul, sharing to this particular group he's addressing, teaching them the things that Paul wrote, the greatness of the mystery, the greatness of the manifestations, these things that came with the ministry of the Apostle Paul. And he says they're hard things. And yet this was a group who was professing faith in Jesus Christ, who was gathering together, but they didn't want to receive the greatness and the fullness of the gospel that was available at that time. And it says they're unlearned and they're unstable. And they wrestle with these things. And the problem is that they're wrestling with other scriptures too. And it's bringing upon them their own what? Destruction. Do you ever meet a Christian, quote unquote, that doesn't believe in healing? They wrestle with scriptures that they bring their own what? Destruction. They're destroying themselves because they don't believe the word. They wrestle with those scriptures. But it's to their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing that you know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own what? Steadfastness. You see? Okay. You therefore, beloved, seeing that you know these things before, what? Okay, so what things he's talking about? He's talking about these people who resist the truth of God's word. And they wrestle with the scriptures. And they bring about their own what? You know, if you don't make the word of God your own and you get around a group of believers saying one thing, sooner or later, you know what you're going to be doing? You're going to be casting your mind. I've seen this over and over again, especially with the Trinity. If you don't study the word of God and see the logic of the truth of that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you get around a bunch of believers that start talking about Trinity, 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 you know what's going to happen after about a month or 2 months? This is what's going to happen. You're going to start thinking, doubting, worrying, changing, and then the illogic is going to become logical. Because if you repeat a lie enough times, you know what happens? People begin to believe it. Okay? Our whole political platform is based on that. Right? You know these things. So the Word of God tells you what? Beware. Beware lest you be led away with the error of the wicked and fall from your own what? Steadfastness. You did well. You did run well, Galatians teaches. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the what? There was a who in Whosville. And it wasn't, you know, Cindy Lou Who either, right? It was a bad who. It was a bad who that hindered them. But that's what it was. You got the hearing it. You got the, they start this, they start that. Verse 18 turns around and instructs us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. They all said, amen. And that's what we do. We continue to grow in grace. But you're not going to grow in grace unless you are growing in the word. So, you must be willing to go against public opinion to promote what you believe. You must be willing to risk failure. You must be masters of your emotions. You must strive to remain above reproach. You must be willing to make decisions others won't make. You must be willing to say no at times and yes, even when the others like to say yes or no. You must sometimes be willing to sacrifice personal interests for the good of the group. You must never be content with the average. You must strive for the best. People must be more important to you than possessions. Were people more important to Jesus than possessions? And you have to work harder to keep balance in your life than other people who are not called leaders. And you can see every one of those attributes in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. So let's pray. Father, may we be a faithful people that we are not offended in the Lord and the Lord be not offended in us. May we speak the truth in love. And may we be aware of the spiritual battle that we're involved in. May we not be lulled to sleep and have ears that are dull of hearing, but that we can receive the great truths of your word and do something about it. We thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ, Father. We pledge not to walk away from him. We pledge not to think evil of him. We pledge not to do him harm. But we pledge to do him honor and to do you honor, Father, by speaking and teaching your word the way you would have it done. So we thank you, Father, for these things, and we can be men and women of integrity, men and women who would stand upon your word and love all that would like to hear and love all that despise also. We thank you for these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.